Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Well, from MTV to Harry Potter, lots to chat about in this week's Throwback Thursday. And Kieran O'Connor from 98FM is with me to tell me more. How are you?
I'm great. And I have to say, this is probably one of my favourite weeks to throw back so far. Some cracking music this week alone.
Really? Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. Well, we'll start with this one.
Ah, yes. The curtains are being drawn back by the footman and we can just see the Princess of Wales and the Prince. They're about to come out first.
The big day.
The wedding of the century. When that moment there when Prince Charles and Diana walked out onto the balcony and had their kiss following their marriage 43 years ago, the 29th of July, 1981. And it was the wedding of the century. Millions of people all around the world watching it. Millions of people attending. The cost, they estimate a cost around 48 million alone. If that wasn't enough, they had 27 wedding cakes and 750 million people watched it on their TVs all around the world.
So 3,500 at the wedding in person. Imagine a wedding. Like, you've recently got married. Imagine 3,500 people sitting for dinner.
Over 100. Never mind 3,500 people watching it in the most nerve-wracking moment of your life.
That's unbelievable. Her wedding dress, like, I remember over the years my mum talking about Di's wedding dress that, you know, like, it inspired so many dresses, obviously. You know what I mean? Like,
the big long trail halfway down.
Big puffy sleeves.
And, unbelievable.
I think her engagement ring too was another big inspiration for a lot of people around the early 1980s. They obviously went on to separate though, 1992.
Yeah. 11 years later they separated and then in 1996 they divorced. And the wedding of the century, no more.
No more. Paperback books.
Yeah, an interesting one. Let's go back 89 years to the 30th of July 1935. Alan Lane was a publisher in London, and I guess before this paperback books weren't a thing. There were hard books, hard copies, which cost a lot of money and were quite heavy to carry, so you weren't bringing them on trains with you. This guy Alan Lane, he was coming home on a train with author Agatha Christie. They stopped in the train station to have a browse and they realised that all these magazines are boring and there was kind of low quality, kind of just stories as opposed to books. And he thought, well, my publishing company's kind of on the decline. Maybe I need to release some paperback books. And that's what happened. This week, 1935, Penguin Books, they were released with the paperback, no photos at all. Mm. And they were priced at a 15th of the cost of a hardback.
1935, the first paperback. That's pretty incredible.
One of the first paperback books.
Do we know what books they were publishing?
An Agatha Christie book was one of them. Mysterious Affair at Styles was one of the first paperback books.
Wow. There you go. This is a huge favourite for, I would say, the vast majority of our listeners, but it's something that I always hated.
It's a classic song. People hear it and straight away they know what it is. It's Harry Potter. Obviously that came from the movie series, but we're going back even earlier than that. 44 years, the 31st of July 1980, when the character, fictional character, Harry Potter was born.
Harry Potter's not been around since 1980.
Yeah, first appeared in a J.K. Rowling book.
I did not know that.
Got published then in 1997. It took a few years to arrive into the States. But when it did, not only did they come with books and sequels of books, they came with 8 movies and from there, merchandise, movies, the Harry Potter world in London.
Oh, like it's
one of the biggest franchises in the world.
It's got to be, absolutely. It's such a hugely grossing brand. Are you a Harry Potter fan?
I'm not.
Neither am I. And I don't get it. And I know people are going to go absolutely mad now. I never got into it. I couldn't enjoy it. And I don't get it. Like, grown adults, obsessed.
I tried to read it.
But this fictional wizard. Like, I just find it mad.
Who lived in a cupboard under his auntie's stairs.
Don't get it. Yeah.
Look, people love it. And they clearly do because it's made billions around the world.
Yeah. Anyway, it's not aimed at me. But so Harry Potter was born 31st of July, 1980. This is something, though, that I definitely loved. Music videos. We used to collect them.
A thing of the past, really. 43 years we're going back to 1st of August 1981. The first music video aired on MTV, a dedicated TV station
It was amazing when you got MTV.
Music television is what it was. I guess they wanted to be the visual radio. That was their hope. They wanted video jocks to play the massive hits of the day with music videos. And that's any artist back then, to get your song big, it was no good just creating great music. You needed great music videos as well. And that's what happened. That song there, Video Killed the Radio Star, the first video to be shown on MTV, slightly ironic as well in the sense of that, I mean, where is MTV now? They're no longer showing music videos at all. If you watch MTV, it's all about teen drama and all these crazy things. So yeah, it's not what it was. I guess the whole scene has changed. But yeah, video didn't kill the radio star in this case.
No. So the 1st of August 1981 is the day that the first music video aired. Were music videos, you're younger than me, were they still a big thing in your time?
Very, but even now, music videos still are.
Like, do people, do you reckon, still buy them?
They wouldn't buy them as such, but I think it's still important for the likes of YouTube. If you are an artist, you still need a good music video. And I guess now TikTok and Instagram,
yeah,
you need
true.
Those clips of the celebrities driving around in these really cool cars in LA, and that's what they all tend to do these days. But yeah, music videos are still a thing. But I guess, yeah, kind of the 90s is when there was the end of music videos, and then early noughties is kind of when it died out and they started turning a lot more to their kind of young teen dramas and everything else that MTV brought us.
We used to get them. I remember it was like, you know, you'd buy the single. In our case, you'd buy them in Woolworths or Wellworths, which I know you were looking at me blankly now. It was just like two different shops, like big chains. They were like a kind of the pre, you know, noughties Lidl or Aldi, but they were in the north. You only got them in the north. So we used to go to Enniskillen and you'd buy your, like, your, you know, music singles in Woolworths or Wellworths. And is that what you call it? Yeah. And then you would go on then and, you know, your next big purchase would be, you get the music video and that came out for like TLC Waterfalls and all of this kind of stuff. All the absolute tunes. So that is MTV and their first ever music video to air. But what about this tune? I was dancing to this at a wedding, you know, only in June. Still
like
a tune.
I'm in Copperface Jacks. That's what I think of when I hear this.
Oh, I love it.
The Macarena, the dance craze was born 28 years ago this week, the 3rd of August, 1996.
Isn't that unbelievable that it is still so loved and recognised?
And you go to a wedding, it doesn't matter what age, everyone's up doing the moves to this song. It just shows like the iconic song that it is. The original came out in 93 and it was a Latin hit, Los Del Rio, the Macarena. And it was in North America, John Caird, he was a Miami radio presenter, and he said to the bosses, look, we should maybe play this song. And they said, no, we're not playing a Latino song on an American radio station. Why would we do that?
Yeah.
So he got in studio with two guys, the Bayside Boys is what they were known as, and they recreated the English language version with a bit more of a bop behind it. And that's the Macarena that we now know. That came out in 1996.
And that like is unbelievable.
Wedding receptions, Copperface Jack, doesn't matter where you go, everyone knows.
Did you have it at your wedding?
I did, actually.
Yay!
And it was great.
Yeah, I love it.
You have to.
Speaking of great tunes, this was what? The number one?
This was...
In Ireland?
The number one song in Ireland.
In Ireland.
This one. I'm Slim Shady, yes, I'm the real Shady. All you other Slim Shadys are just imitating. So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up? Please stand up. But we want to play a game and test your knowledge.
Oh, go on.
What was the year?
Oh, play a little bit more of it again, will you? For a second. I'm Slim Shady, yes, I'm love this tune, Shady, by the way. Knew all the words, Kieran. So I'm a little bit torn on this, okay? I think my gut tells me, like, I kind of think it's around 99 or 90, but I don't think it's that old. I think it has to be more like a... Oh, I'm like, a part of me thinks it's 2000, but I don't. I think it's more like a 98 or a 99. I'm going to settle on a 99.
Okay, you're off. 2000. We commenced
on 29th
July 2000, 24 years.
I did say 2000 initially and then I wrote back.
You changed your mind though. Real Slim Shady, Eminem, look, came from his third album, a classic song, and they wanted the recall. That's a lot of Eminem's music is all about the recall. I mean, My Name Is, that song was always about that. And the producer said, how can we get his name into this song again, and that's what they came up with this.
Sorry, no, I'm getting at least a half a point for that because I did say it to you. I can knew it, but I just, yeah.
We'll go to VAR.
I did get it wrong, but anyway. So that was the number one in Ireland on this day in Ireland.
2000.
In 2000, and this was the number one on this day in the UK. Do you feel the same, or great tune that I loved over the years. This is definitely older now. This is...
Okay. So it was this week anyway, in the UK. It was a number one. But how many years ago?
Oh God, like this is part of this, part of my life that sort of blends into one there around... I'm trying to think how early in secondary school I was in when that would have been out. So maybe it was a junior cert tune, was it? Was it? I'm going to go with 98, but I have a feeling it's a bit younger than that. No. Is it 2001?
2001 is correct.
Yeah, I get another half point for that.
Yeah, Tom McKitt, Eternal Flame.
Yeah.
The Liverpool girl group that brought that song into a lot of our lives. I mean, it wasn't their song. Originally, the Bangles brought it to everyone in 1988, and that was a number one song when it came out originally in the UK as well. But yeah, classic.
2001. Kieran O'Connor, as always, thanks a million. Kieran, we'll chat to you next Thursday.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.